this whole process, when parents are writing their letter, it does help them think about how they were impacted by their parents. And it helps them think, man, I wish I had this for my dad. I wish I had this for my mom. So I'm going to make sure and give it to my children.
Family life is essential. Jim and I are on a mission to help you live the best one. You'll hear personal stories from thought leaders of strengths and struggles with proven strategies to help you make the most of your 18 summers. I'm your co-host, Jamie Shields. 18 Summers Tribe, today we are interviewing Blake Brewer. Blake is on a mission to help 1 million dads and moms leave a lasting legacy for their children. Today we talk about an incredible experience Blake had with his own father and how that led into his purpose, passion, his mission. Blake has a wonderful wife and loves being a father to his three children. As he leads his family, he draws from many mentors, but none more important than his late father. We share some vulnerable, heartfelt things. We talk about the importance of your voice being the loudest voice that your children hear above society and social media and all others, and that the power of the words that we have can either build our children up or break our children down. Welcome, Blake.
Hey, Jamie. Hey, Jim. I'm glad to be here. Thanks so much for having me on today.
No, it's great to have you. I got to tell you, when your interview was introduced to us, I was like, whoa, this is a pretty powerful story around family and some things that we've done, but not quite to you. So I'd love for you to jump right in and tell people, because the name of your company is
Legacy Letter Challenge.
Legacy Letters. But how did this all start? I mean, that's what honestly grabbed me. I'm like, wow.
I love the story of it.
Yeah.
Yeah, it all started with something my dad did for me. You know, I believe that the most powerful words spoken on the planet are spoken by a father and spoken by a mother. So there's things that I could say to my children today that could absolutely wreck their life. Like, that's how powerful my words are in their life. Like, you guys could say the same thing to my children and it might just like hurt their feelings a little bit. But if I say it, like, they're going to need counseling to get over it. And I shudder to even think about those things. But there's also things that I can say that can really bring life to my children and bring confidence to my children and when really help them find their purpose and meaning in life. And so my dad did something with his words that really increased the impact of his words, made his words lasting. When I was 19 years old, I got a call from my mom and she said, "We're going on a family trip to Hawaii." I said, "Heck yeah, let's go." And the first day that we were there, we went snorkeling and man, there's nowhere else I wanted to be in the world than right there. And there was a point where everyone kind of went to the beach to lay down. Everyone except for my dad. My dad was like, "We're in Hawaii. I'm not laying down on the beach. I'm going back out there." And so I ran to catch up to him. As I was standing next to my dad, man, I was just so happy to be there. I had a great dad. I love my dad. He was really larger than life and physically, metaphorically and physically. So he had been drafted by the Atlanta Falcons to play tight end. His claim to fame was that he was Terry Bradshaw's tight end at Louisiana Tech. So they were best friends and roommates. And you can imagine some of the stories that came out of those years. But my dad was also a really more introverted, like humble person. And so he never told anybody that he was Terry Bradshaw's tight end. But I told everybody. It was like my claim to fame growing up.
Sure, absolutely.
Yeah. Well, my dad looked at me with a big smile on his face and said, "Man, I'm glad you're out here with me." Made me feel like $1 million. Put on the snorkel gear. We headed out in the water. And as we went further and further out, we ended up in some pretty deep waters. And the current picked up. The waves got bigger. And I realized that I didn't see my dad anymore. And so I began scanning the water and eventually I saw him and I could tell that he wasn't doing well. He was still treading water, but he looked right at me and he said, "I need help." And my dad had this really big, deep, booming voice and this yell for help was more like a whimper. And so I swam to my dad as quickly as I could. Once I arrived, I realized that my dad had gone underneath the water and he was unconscious. And so I swam down, put my arms around my dad and brought him back up to the surface. And then I had to swim with him to shore. And luckily the lifeguard saw what was going on. They helped get my dad to shore and they started doing CPR to my dad. And I really thought that at any moment, my dad was going to come to, like the water was going to come out of his mouth. His eyes were going to flicker open, but it never happened. And so my dad ended up drowning that day. Wow. And it literally went from one of the best moments of my life to the worst. And I'm sitting there next to my dad, like, what the heck just happened? Like, we were literally just, he was right there next to me.
Wow.
And I was already asking the questions, like, how are we going to make it, you know, without my dad? How am I going to make it without my dad? You know, I'm never going to see my dad again. And so fast forward a couple hours, and now we're back in the condo, sitting on the edge of the bed in the back bedroom. My mom appeared in the doorway and she said, I found something in your dad's briefcase, something that I know he was going to give you on the trip. I had no idea what it was, but she walked across the room and handed me some sheets of paper. And it was a letter. It was a letter from my dad that apparently he had been working on for several months, writing this letter that he had, you know, he had no idea that he was about to die, had no idea that this would be his final words to me. And as I read this letter, it was everything that I needed in that moment. My dad shared how he felt about me and my sister and brother, shared some life advice with us. But really, I just felt so loved. Like, don't tell me my dad didn't love me. Like, in the midst of, he was a CEO of a hospital. He refed football games on this as his hobby. He was involved in our church. And in the midst of all of that, and now that I'm a dad and I have three kids, like, I see how difficult it is to, like, stop and do something like this, but he did it because he loved us. And as I got to the end of this letter, I really believe only God could have allowed my dad to write this. But he wrote, as you're being faithful to God, you're often going to find yourself in the minority here on earth. I can assure you that in heaven, you'll be in the majority. Love your dear old dad. Ooh. And I remember reading that just thinking, man, I'm going to see my dad again. And so my dad's letter just provided so much hope for me and confidence. In a way, my dad's words protected me, especially for that next year. I was having a lot of what if thoughts. I would almost every night I was going to bed, just like replaying that day in my mind. Like, what if we hadn't gone so far out? What if I could have held my dad different? Like, what if I could have done something, you know, was this my fault? And every time I would start to think that, it was like my dad's voice was right there saying, no, this was not your fault.
Like, this question for you is, how did you carry that?
That's
a lot to be there in the moment when it happens. And I think a lot of times children are in positions they should never be in. And then moving forward from that, I think that letter, what an incredible reminder you could keep leaning on to be like, nope, my dad knew my character and he knows I did everything I could. Curious a bit of that process for you.
Well, that next year, I grieved, you know, really hard that next year. And I had some people tell me, some counselors, some professionals, and they said, Blake, you have grieved this in a very healthy way, honestly, compared to most people. And I had a good support system. I had people in my life, you know, allowed me to talk about it, but I attribute a lot to my dad's letter and the things that he wrote in there that kind of allowed me to move forward. And so, yeah, I can't even imagine my life if my dad had not written that letter.
What are some other moments that letter has seen you through?
So I graduated college, you know, career decisions to make. And so even making those decisions, you know, what do I do here? And I just kind of fell back on some of those words and some confident, like I just felt confident, like, man, just, you're going to figure it out, you know, make a decision and keep going forward. And really that was some of the things that my dad wrote in the letter. And then I got married and started having kids. I remember one specific time in my marriage, my wife and I are happily married and we were happily married then, but there was like, we were trying to make some decisions in our marriage and it just kind of like, we were just asking those questions like, wait, are we supposed to be married to each other? Like, it just seemed like we were so off on some things. And I just remember, it was like, my dad was like, man, persevere, like keep fighting for this, like keep working for it. And so there was just these moments where like good moments, you know, that were difficult, even in starting the mission that I'm on now, which is to help 1 million dads and moms write at least one well-written, meaningful, lasting legacy letter to their children. Can I really do this? I just have this confidence that's from my dad and his words, like, yes, you can do this.
First, I got to have a two-part question. Where do you keep the letter? Have you like put it in, have you laminated it or something to that point? Or do you keep it in a journal or is it mounted on a plaque on a wall or anything? I was just curious.
It's over here on my bookshelf right here and it's in like some protective coating.
There you go.
So, but I will say my dad's letter is typed. Most people assume it's probably handwritten, but he typed it, which I'm grateful for because I can actually read it. We made a lot of copies, which he made multiple copies too for myself, my sister. So there's a lot of people out there that have a copy of this letter.
Oh, that's awesome.
Did this letter make as big of an impact? How did it affect your siblings?
You said, yeah, so I have a sister and a brother. They're both doing well. And so I think, I mean, they felt really loved and it impacted them. I don't know if they would say to the level that it impacted me. I will say that they're excited that there's dads and moms out there writing a letter to their children because of my dad's letter.
So tell me about the business, the process, when you started doing this. Tell us a little bit about it. This will be great for our audience. I'm sure some of them are going to be interested.
Yeah. So it was a couple of years ago when I realized, man, I need to write a letter to my children. I mean, like if anyone knows the value of a letter from their dad, it's me. And so I go to write this letter and I'm looking at a blank sheet of paper and it was, I'm like, what the heck am I going to write here? And so, you know, to get my thoughts and feelings organized in a way, and it just kind of hung over my head, but I knew I had to finish. You know, I don't know when my last day on the planet is going to be. I got to have something written down for my children. I see the world that my children are growing up in. It's like, it's very noisy out there. And I need to make sure they hear my voice. I mean, the most important voice in their life is mine and my wife's. I want to be very clear about how I feel about them and family values. I did a lot of research and read a lot of books and podcasts. I looked at my dad's letter. I was like, man, if we're going to write the letter, like, let's make it the best that it can be, like all the good stuff in it. And so I finished the letter and felt amazing. I mean, I was like, man, this feels good to write this letter. Like I knew I'd done something good. It was a milestone moment in my fatherhood journey. And really, I was the one that was really feeling the benefits of writing this letter. I mean, it just like crystallized, you know, how I felt about my children and even my parenting. I did decide to read it to my daughter when she was 4. Mm-hmm. And each night I'm normally reading her like a princess book. And then that night I said, hey, Gracie Kate, daddy's got something for you. And I began to read this letter. Well, I forgot to take into account how emotional I was going to be reading this letter. I mean, I was just boohooing and she had never seen me cry before. So I was, you know, what in the world is she thinking right now? Well, I get to the end of this letter and I look up at my daughter and she says, Daddy, can you read me the princess book now? Which I was like, yeah. But the next day she did go up to my wife and she said, last night, Daddy read me a message. Can he read me that message again tonight? Mm-hmm. And so she didn't understand all the concepts in that letter. She will in time as she gets older, but she got the main one, which is she's got a daddy who loves her. So it was around that time I meet a guy and he tells me a story about getting a letter from his biological dad. He didn't know my story at all. And he says he was ticked because at the top of the letter, it said, dear son. And he was like, who does this man think he is to call me son? He abandoned me when I was a child. I've had 4 stepfathers who've beaten me physically and verbally. It's like, I'm not messing with this guy. Well, this is the power of a letter because this letter began, he went back and read it and it began to soften his heart towards his dad. He goes and meets with his biological dad. Long story short, they become best friends. Like his dad becomes his best man at his wedding and his life completely changes. Like now he's running a nonprofit rescuing women and children all across the world that are caught up in sex trafficking. I'm listening to this story and I'm like, yeah. And it all goes back to this letter. And so then a couple months go by and another guy tells me a life-changing story about getting a letter from his dad. And it was like a light bulb moment. Like, what am I doing here? I got to help more people get a letter from their dad. So that's when the mission started. We've since included moms in the mission. And so we came up with a program in much of the same way I wrote my letter to my children and helped moms and dads put all the best stuff in their legacy letter. And so we're talking about, I mean, anyone would want a letter from their dad or their mom, but we're talking about a legacy letter. And a legacy letter has all of the good stuff in it, all of the things that everybody wants to hear from their dad or their mom. I love you. I'm proud of you. I believe in you. And we help parents apologize because no parent is perfect. And it just shows so much humility to put this at the beginning of the letter. And we really help parents connect with their children's heart. And some parents are great at that and some are not, but this letter just helps you connect in a way that you never have before.
Yeah, that's so powerful. And I think the fact that you bring up the apology, I wanted to share my own letter story, which you're probably like, wait, what? And it's not, it's a little bit thick, but the apology that arrived in it, I needed probably my entire life. And so my father and I didn't have a closer, I loved him. I thought, you know, there were lots of things he did that were cool. He wasn't very present, and without going into a lot of terrible things that could be said, my father was incarcerated, and he took the opportunity in a way that he never had before to communicate and apologize and say, I'm proud of you in spite of the things in which I did, that you made something of yourself. And he asked for forgiveness, and he acknowledged the layers in which you're saying, even in a relationship that I still loved my dad, I still thought my dad was amazing, but I carried something funky in there that didn't feel peaceful to me. You know, yeah. It wasn't a longing. It wasn't but it was still, there was something that wasn't finished. And when I received that letter, I saved it too, even though it's like odd to keep the letter from your dad in prison. I don't know, but
Of course you saved it. It was a letter from your dad.
But it just seemed so like, gosh, is this a happy memory? The layers that it kind of healed, and it got me to a place of being like, I'm at peace, and that I needed. Like, this wasn't about him. I mean, maybe he felt better for writing the letter, but I so needed that, even if what he had to acknowledge and say was just shit, you know what I mean? But I'm sorry for all of that, and you're better than that. And I needed that. And so just for anybody listening, you know, and for you to hear that. So.
Well, that's awesome that your dad did that. I mean, as people, as you know, we're all very complicated people, and we are a result of our parenting and how we grew up, and our parents have deeply impacted us. And so for your dad to do that and to say, I'm sorry, this whole process when parents are writing their letter, it does help them think about how they were impacted by their parents. And it helps them think, man, I wish I had this for my dad. I wish I had this for my mom. So I'm going to make sure and give it to my children. And you're the change in your family, like right now, right? Like your dad, you're doing better than your dad in a way. And he's helping you by writing that letter.
Yeah. It gets a less charged space to love from, for sure.
Yeah.
What do you think the hardest part of a letter? It's funny, the crossover, because in one of my big family talks, I talk about saying the unspoken, which is normally what's missing for people is a sincere compliment or a genuine apology. And I always say that everyone's lacking those. And sometimes we've never given either, and we think we have. So just apologizing for people, I know it's been a hard thing, at least families we've worked with. What else is so hard about this letter? What's the thing that roadblocks people or overwhelms them, or what do you see that is?
Yeah. And for some, it's like we're already talking about, there's things that they have not worked through with their parents, and there's kind of like a block there. And then I think people, they know that they love their children, but really putting that into words and like, how do I can't even come up with the words to tell my children how much I love them. And so, and then I see parents too, I see a lot of perfectionists. And so they would just want to write this perfect letter. And I tell them, you're never going to write the perfect letter. And we have got to get a finished letter. That is what matters. And they just want to hear your heart. You're not trying to write a New York Times bestseller. I mean, I had a dad yesterday on a call. I do a lot of private groups. And he said, man, I'm not much of a writer, but let me share. I'm not a good writer. And he read us what he wrote in the intro paragraph. It was like, this was unbelievable. I was like, people would kill to get that from their dad. And I told him, I was like, man, you need to stop saying that you're not a good writer. I was like, stop saying that, because you are a good writer and you're definitely good enough for your children.
That's so good.
That's powerful. What are do you have like a secret sauce formula that you guide people through? Like, you should add these couple of items.
Yeah, we have a framework, and all your listeners can get that framework for free. And I don't know the link, but maybe you can put that in the link.
And put in the show notes.
You put in the show notes. We give away that for free. You know, we've got the introduction, the apology. I love you. I'm proud of you. I believe in you. The memories, the life advice, and then the closing paragraph, which also includes the legacy line. But yeah, that's the formula. And people really love having just a framework to work within.
Absolutely. Because some people, like you said, I'm not a writer. Where do I start? And it's like, well, fill in these blanks. That's super helpful. I'll tell you too, just a personal reflection. When Jim and I started dating that first Christmas, what do you want for Christmas? And I said, I want a love letter. And every Christmas I get a love letter that is pretty much your secret sauce formula. I love you. I'm proud of you. I'm sorry. You know, it's these layers. And I saved, I mean, I have every single one in a box. And whenever things get thick, you know, like you said, we have a good marriage. We've always had a good marriage, but I lean on those words. They matter.
Yeah. So my wife is not a words of affirmation person. So I try to tell her words like that. And she's like, you don't have to tell me that, but I need them. Like I want them, but I do tell the guys, I'm like, okay, here's a couple things that are going to happen when you write this letter. Your wife is going to be number one, be like, man, this is pretty cool that you're investing in our children this way. She's going to feel loved because you're loving her children. So maybe you get some extra loving out of it. Number one. But number two, she's going to say, hey, now where's my letter? So you got to be prepared for that.
Yeah. So I'd be the opposite. Although I've written some notes, but never, some letters.
I even find, and this is such a simplified version, but I even find I tend to send cheesy Valentines to our kids, and our two big boys are 19 and 17. And I still find some of the silly stuff that I've given them over the years, but just even if it just says, I love you or I miss you, it's just interesting to see wow, they still have that. It matters.
It does matter. We want to work as parents to get our words deeply embedded into their heart, because we know that our children are they might currently be facing a big decision. If they're not now, they're about to be, or a temptation, or maybe an opportunity. And we know that as those face those decisions, temptations, opportunities, they're better off with our words. And the scary part is it was wait, I've said the right words to them before, but did they receive it? Because just because you said it didn't mean that they received it. And then the second question is, maybe they received it, but did it stick? Because it's so annoying. There's so many things that we're competing with now, so many things that are really detrimental. And they're listening to all these voices. I mean, you get on social media, and there's within a few minutes, just hundreds of people out there, and our daughters are having to compare themselves to all these beautiful ladies around the world. You know, am I good enough? And so as parents, we can't just throw our hands up in there and say, well, there's too much competition out there, I guess just roll over. It's no, we got to do whatever it takes to get our voice into our children's life.
Yeah.
So how are you spreading this message? I know your goal is 1 million letters.
Yeah, 1 million dads and 1 million moms.
And so, how are you rolling that out?
Well, you're helping me right now get it out to your audience. So I don't know if that's what you mean, but yeah, people are sharing. And as people are writing their letter, most people write their letter either by going through the masterclass. And so they can go through that at their own pace. We got videos for each section of the letter that really guide you through it, example letters. But then I also lead groups live. So when someone signs up and pays for the masterclass, they're choose self-guided or live. And I do some private groups as well. Probably the most exciting thing is that a national morning show found out what we're doing. And I can't really say which one it is yet because it hasn't been released yet. But I went to New York City a couple weeks ago. There's 3.7 million people that watch this one. So I looked it up. So we'll see how many letters we get written after that. That'll be pretty exciting.
That's very good. Well, we love what you're doing. I think it's an important thing, where it's a big thing we talk about through our own story is not leaving with regret, you know, so
with
nothing left unsaid. So I won't get too deep into it, but a lot of our audience knows, you know, I had a very unique relationship with my father. I donated him a kidney 11 years ago. He died a year ago on Christmas Day. So we got a whole decade out of him. And people thought I was going to be a train wreck. And I've been remarkably well. Jamie will attest that. I still have some blips, you know, almost like a poison ivy thing. But we both discussed this, how am I doing so well? Because there was no regret. We left nothing on the table, nothing unsaid. And I think a letter, which we had those between us and then some deep conversations, was such a powerful way to do that. And now what you're doing is you're removing regret, the chance for regret. And I was thinking this, listening to you, for what this is worth, I can't get into the mind or the other side or any of that, but I have to think, knowing what me writing that letter to my dad before he went and then vice versa, I know your dad would have done anything not to leave, but I don't think he died with regret. And probably because there was nothing left unsaid. He said it, and He's probably more like, dang, I'm glad I did those letters. You know? And I'm thinking he's probably like, I hope they find those letters. That probably put him at ease, you know, just thinking from the other side since I've gone through with my dad, but in a different way. I think that he didn't leave anything unsaid. And there's some real power in that.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I mean, that is the thing that we all have in common, is that we're all going to have a last day on this planet. We don't know when it's going to be. And yeah, we don't want to have any regrets on that last day. It doesn't matter how much money we have in the bank or what all of our accomplishments are going to be. I mean, the thing we're going to care the most about is the people we love, like our family and our children. And we don't want to have any regrets with those people.
No, for sure. Well, you're doing great work. We're a huge supporter of it. We'll be taping your show and showing it to our kids. That's so exciting. Once it's released, then drop us a text so we know what it is and how we can watch it. We'll support. We'll put it in the notes. How is the best way for people to reach out to you now?
Yeah, I'm on Facebook. I'm on Instagram. And I'm on LinkedIn as well. I spend a lot of time on LinkedIn.
Okay. It's all Legacy Letter.
It's Legacy Letter. Is there a website too? Is there a legacyletter.com?
Yeah, you can go to legacyletterchallenge.com. Legacyletterchallenge.com.
Very good. We obviously will recommend everyone listening. This is so up our alley. It's like peas and carrots. So
yeah. And I think my big takeaway, which there's lots of them, but make sure my children hear my voice the loudest is what I wrote down. And it just, that really sticks because you're right. That it is really loud right now.
Yeah.
The world is noisy. So make certain that yours is the loudest one they hear. So thank you for your wisdom and your time and your message.
Yeah. Keep going. We'll be cheering for you and letting our audience hopefully support you. And I'm sure they will.
Absolutely. Thank you so much. Thanks for having me on.
Thanks, Blake.
Thanks for joining the 18 Summers podcast and putting your family in priority position. Subscribe and leave a review and help other families just like you.